And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Trek. I'm kidding. Star Wars episode I just want to see if I can, like, well, now I'm saying it so it won't matter. I wonder if I would just start sliding in different shows if anybody would notice. Alright, in this episode, after the Republic conquers the Umbaran airbase, General Krell orders Rex and his men towards a heavily fortified capital. Realizing that there's a better plan, several clone troopers disobey orders to carry out a rogue covert operation. They will be ship swiping, a throwback to episode one, and we'll lose our favorite gun-toting crazy clone, so one last yeah for him. We're talking about Planet of Sith this week. How you doing, Chris?
Pretty good.
That's good.
I don't think I'll be doing a lot of descent in this episode.
Well, that's good. You're not going to, like, leave for another podcast and leave me to vamp?
No.
Goodbye. Oh, no, come back. I can't do this without you.
I'm sure you could do this episode without me.
I probably could. It wouldn't be good because I would just spend a half hour talking about each individual clone and their journeys and their stories, and it would be our longest episode ever. Actually, no, next week will probably be better. That next week I keep thinking about next week's episode and I'm just like, yes, I already have so much I want to say now. Like, a lot of notes that I've been sitting on for the last three episodes. So, and like comics I want to
I know
recommend.
And it's 2 weeks before we record it again too, so it's gonna be like festering for those 2 weeks.
Yeah, I might go ahead and, like, jot down a couple notes, because I know there's a really great comic that I've recommended, like, way, way a long time ago, but it's called Star Wars Destinies, and it's about Ahsoka, the traitor clone Slick, and Dogma, who shows up in this arc, and it's a story about the three of them, and it takes place after season 5, so I can't go too much into details, but pretty much Ahsoka busts Slick out of jail, and they go on an adventure with Dogma. But it's gotten interesting because you know how last 2 weeks we've been talking a lot about Cut Laquane and that clone and what he did for Rex? Well, Cut Laquane just showed up in the comic and I was just like, shut up!
Oh, wow.
I know! So it's just a really, really good comic. It's a great little webcomic. I mean, none of it's canon. But, I mean, it's just a really great webcomic and I love it. So it just... I want to recommend it again next week and stuff like that because it will be... I can talk about it more then. And not give away spoilers of stuff. But, yeah. Man, I read there's a one-shot comic about Cassian and K2SO from Rogue One, and it came out this week.
Oh.
It was okay, because it was a story about how Cassian and K2SO met. And it's always just fun, because, you know, you read the... Just, you can hear Andy Tulek? Tulek, who played
K2SO.
You can hear his voice the entire way through. But I always just kind of forget how much of a dick Cassian is. Because, you know, he's like supposed to be the male lead, but he's kind of a murderous dick. And I always forget about that. But the thing that I like most about it is, I don't know if I've ever seen this race. Maybe they're from the EU or something. But there's these twins, and they're purple, and they communicate through smell. And so, like... You know, if Cassian can smell the ozone, he knows that they're talking to each other just through smell. And like if there's like a scent of raw sewage, he knows that they sense danger. And it's a very interesting race. Like he has to.
Or that they just ate tacos.
Yeah. But like I don't think I've ever seen this race before. But they're a pair of twins and they communicate through smell. So
I kind of communicate through smell too.
Yeah, depending on if that's my day off and stuff, I do. So, but yeah, it was the Cassian little K2SO one shot was very interesting. I kind of want them to do more one shots with all the different Rogue One characters, except for Jyn. And the only reason I do that is because Jyn's getting focused in Forces of Destiny. So I would like to have other stuff with the other characters, like Bodhi and Chirrut and Boz and stuff. So. Though, man, speaking of Rogue One, they have this comic where it's the movie adaptation, and when they did it for Force Awakens, it was pretty much like scene for scene Force Awakens. It wasn't anything new. But with the new Rogue One adaptation, they added stuff into it, like background stuff. Like, there's some spot, like, parts where, like, Bodhi and his mom, and like, how Bodhi met Galen. But the thing that stuck out for me was when we did our Rogue One commentary, or our recap, like, way forever ago last year, one of my things I was saying is, I wish they had a moment when Saul Guerrero was about to die, and he, like, mentioned his sister, or he talked about her, or he thought about her. Like, oh. You know, I wish there was something. They added that into the comic. Like, his final panel, he's watching the Death Star dust coming at him, and he's just like, Steela! And I was like, woo! It happened! So, that was really exciting for me.
They're listening to our podcast.
I guess so. Apparently, nobody loves Star Wars like I do in our store, and my coworker calls me Palpatine. Because I will fight people.
Excellent.
Excellent. Good. So that's my... I feel like I had something else Star Wars-y to say. I don't remember. Porgs are everywhere. Oh! Remember when we were talking about the behind-the-scenes footage and we thought those, like, little furry bird things were convoys and we weren't sure?
I was hoping they were.
They're anyway. Not. They're called porgs.
Oh.
But they're really cute because they're kind of taking over everything now. Like Star Wars, like, they're putting up out all this stuff. Like, there's going to be a kid's book called Chewie and the Porgs, which sounds like a great band, by the way. But, like, I'm starting to love them. They're called porgs, and they're cute. And they released a photo from Last Jedi, and it's a Porg and Chewbacca sitting what I'm guessing is the Millennium Falcon. I just glanced at it. I didn't get a chance to really look at the photo because it flew by my Twitter. But the Porgs, they're everywhere. Porgs. It's just a cute name, too. Porg. I hope they make that sound like a Pokemon. They just go, Porg, Porg, Porg.
It's almost pork.
I know.
I wonder if they taste like ham.
No, we can't eat them. They look like baby seals that fly.
So,
they look like flying baby seals.
Alright, I won't make any club jokes.
It's okay. So, do you remember the Wild Child co-worker that I told you about a few weeks ago?
Yes, the one who had, like, the slashed up hand.
Yeah, and, like, would sneak into and, like, met M. Night Shyamalan on a whim and stuff.
Yep.
So when I pick up shirts at work and I put them over my shoulder, I always grab the bottom of them and slap them down on the counter. And one time she just started laughing, and I was like, what is it? And she's like, it's like you just slapped down a dead baby seal.
Oh, jeez.
So every time I'm just like, baby seal!
Is that a sound she's familiar with or something?
I don't know. Sadly, she's not with us anymore. She doesn't work there anymore. So she
yeah,
had to go
them back. Wild children don't last long.
Well, then she had to go back to college, so she just came back for the summer. Hopefully we'll get her back for winter break, because she'll be back home then, so I hope so. I like her. She has the best stories. I miss it already. So, plan of descent.
I'm ready. I know you're ready.
I am. Actually, I don't have as many notes this time around, but I think a lot of, like, the character notes... A lot of the things I could have said were stuff I said, like, last week and the week before.
Well, I'm going to have something to say about that, yeah, as it goes on. There's a good reason for that, I think.
Yeah, so... All right, let me scroll back up to the top where my notes are. I had that, too, with the extra information notes. I was, like, scraping bottom of the barrel because I had already said everything. So these are, like, bottom of the barrel notes. All right, so... Planet of Descent is the 75th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on November 11, 2011. Oh, that was my mommy's wedding day.
Oh, wow. So I guess you didn't watch that one. You didn't watch this one when it came out.
I watched it later. I remember that. Because my mom got... Because 11-11 is lucky in my family. My mommy got married on 11-11-11. Oh, I just realized that. Happy wedding, Mom. From, 6 years later. All right, sorry. It was written... I was wondering why that date sounded so familiar when I wrote it, and I've been thinking about that for about 24 hours now. It was written by Matt Michnovitz and directed by Kyle Dunleavy. Some bottom-of-the-barrel extra information that I scraped together for you. So, Five's hurried conversation with General Krell over the comlinks is a nod to Han Solo trying to stall stormtroopers in A New Hope. Inspiration for the Umbara fighting suits came from both Robotech and Dune. I had missed this in the first episode of the Umbara arc, but back in the episode Darkness of Umbara, in the opening narration when it's showing the space battle, you can actually see Ahsoka and Bera Sophie being part of the fighting campaign and fighting and shooting and stuff. And I missed that. And my last bottom of the barrel note, on Fives' helmet, he has painted on a Rishi eel. And it's a tribute to the his time on the Rishi moon during the episode Rookies. Yeah, I know. I like stuff like that.
You know who else has an eel painted on his moon?
Hey, Yoda!
It was drunk when got that tattoo.
Do you like it like this? Do you want to come over here? I have some Vicks VapoRub.
Oh.
It's hot and cold. Come here, Yoda.
Just like Yoda is wet and dry. At the same time.
Squishy pant boy.
Okay.
Is that your smell? Do you also communicate in senses?
Yoda communicates in many ways.
These are my come hither eyes. Wink, wink. Sorry.
I think Yoda's saying it's time for a bath is what's happening.
What if I like that sort of thing, dirty boy?
All right.
Hope. I wonder if I could scare Yoda away.
I'm sure you could eventually. Sure, yeah. If you put some effort into it, you could do it. All right.
The wise man leads, the strong man follows. In bed.
Where are we going? Where am I following you to?
I'm not sure exactly what that means.
I guess the wide man leads and the strong man follows. What if they're like bears? Like cute, like San Francisco bears.
Yeah. I mean, this could be, I guess this could be for any cop. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be for two men, but we can go with that one.
Or it could be like ancient Greece where like they had like mentors and they mentored boys.
In their butts.
Where do you think extra virgin olive oil came from?
Yeah.
That's not a lie either. Look it up.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I wouldn't think. Yeah, we should go on with the episode.
There you go. You get a little Clone Wars, you get a little history of extra virgin olive oil.
Rex is like, how you doing, Fives? He's just like, hey, I made a salad. He's like, do you need some extra virgin olive oil?
Hope's like, no. Pulling the plug out of the bottle.
Olive oil, you say. More of a ranch guy. I like ranch. And Rex just caps it and goes, I hope you die, and walk off. Anakin likes the olive oil. Anyway, next one. Sorry, guys. It's that kind of night. I won't talk to Chris for 2 weeks, and I need to get it in now.
Rex is going to be like, thank the maker. This olive oil bath is going to be so good.
And then R2 comes out of it with his little periscope thing. Beep, beep. Oh, man. I had a great, great talk about how much one of my biggest Star Wars pet peeves is when they spell out droid names.
Oh, yeah, I do that sometimes.
I especially when they do C-3PO, they actually write S-E-E for yep. C. I hate that. It annoys the crap out of me. I hate it. Anyway, I won.
Interesting.
Well, no, I was thinking about a conversation I had with my coworker, and we were talking about the Shakespeare A New Hope one, where it's like written Shakespeare, but it's A New Hope. And she was like, yeah, but R2-D2 still types out beep, beep, boop, beep. They don't actually give him Shakespeare. And then that's why we got into that conversation. So, anyway, Act 1.
Right? Act 1.
Okay. Okay, shit has been going down the last few weeks. Anakin had to loan the 501st to Jedi Master Pon Crow when Palpatine called him back during the invasion of Umbara. Rex is all like, "We got this, sir." And Anakin was like, "Cool. Krell, take care of my boys. They're my precious cinnamon rolls." And Krell was like, "Totally. I will even put frosting on those cinnamon rolls." And then the moment Anakin left, Krell was like, "Fuck you guys. I'm a bagel man." And after a series of suicide missions, the clone managed to take an airfield with Krell. Now they have to somehow get to the capital city, which is fortified with bombs and missiles and shit, to help out Obi-Wan and his troops. The people you need to know for this arc: Fives is Captain Dissent, who questions everything and is one fuck it away at all times. Hardcase is the loud comedic one that loves his big guns and screaming. Jesse is more of a mild joker, preferring more verbal cues and dialogue. Tup is the precious rookie, and this is probably his first mission, and he's probably pissed himself a few times already, but he's really sweet. And then Dogma is General Krell's suck-up, who is so far up the ass that Krell's ass that Krell could open his mouth and you would see Dogma's head in the back of his throat. And Kix is the gentle medic, but I don't think Kix is in this episode now I think back on it. Kix is the gentle medic who's slowly losing his shit because this is awful and he keeps having to leave men behind. And finally, Rex is the father trying to make sure all his kids don't drown each other in the death pool of Umbara. Let's get started! At the Tron airfield, Krell wants to make sure that the base remains his, and Dogma's like, "Whatever you say, you beautiful, strong man. Guys, I can't believe we're here with him. Krell's the best." And Rex interrupts before Dogma jizzes his armor, saying that Obi-Wan needs to speak with Krell. Hardcase breaks away from Krell, checking on Five, who at some point learned mechanics and is working on an Umbaran ship. Fives and Hardcase, mean girl bitch talk about Krell and about how much he sucks. In the tower, Krell and Rex Skype calls Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan says that they were forced to retreat from the capital because an airship up in space is supplying the Umbarans with missiles and shit. Rex wants to attack the airbase, but Krell would much rather march his men to the capital city for more suicide missions. Obi-Wan starts to say something about the airbase, but his system jams and they lose transmission. Krell is like, "We're moving out in 12 hours for all of you to die." And Rex is like, so here's another idea. We should try and get in touch with Obi-Wan again and plan our attack together. And, you know, not alone for all of us to die. That'd be great." And Krell pulls a dick card saying that if Rex is smart and a loyal soldier, he'll follow orders and stop questioning him. Well, Rex goes to the other member of the 501st, and it goes about as well as expected. Everyone is like, "Krell has it out for us! This plan is terrible! We're all gonna die!" Except for Dogma, who is like, "Krell is perfect! You guys don't know what you're talking about!" And Jesse is like, "Dude, bro, put it away. All we're saying is he doesn't have any regard for clone life at all. His casualty numbers are through the roof." Then Fives continues to point out the golden fact, saying, "He is not like other Jedis. He has no respect for us." And Rex is like, "Guys, I'm really open to suggestions here." So Fives is like, "Well, Jesse and I are really amazing while you were gone. We cracked the Umbaran ships and got access to their codes and shit. We could just use their own ships to sneak up to the supply ship up there in space and do some damage. We can help out our troops in the capital." Rex believes this crazy plan might actually work, so he does the worst thing ever, which is tell Krell about the plan. Okay, I gotta give Rex credit here, though, because he's trying to follow protocol, but after 2 episodes of Krell being a dick, he should just know that it doesn't work. And it goes about as well as it plans, and Krell shoots down the idea and tells him to go away. What'd you think about Act 1?
Well, he couldn't really, like, just do the plan, because that would be insubordination.
Yeah, but, so, I mean, like, that's why I'm like, I have to give, like, you know, he had to tell Crow, but at the same time, I kind of wish he didn't, but at the same time, like, he had to, so I get it, it just sucks that he's in that position.
We got the, it's like, it's kind of like a, this arc is like a recurring nightmare. You got the same sort of nightmare happening every week with the clones, where they're just getting relentlessly wiped out by Krell. And each show is just kind of like a variation of the show before it, you know? It sort of hits the same themes, but then
this one's not as bad, though, because
but
it this one
takes it
does.
Further. As the story goes on, each episode goes a little further in the clones rebelling against Krell, and this one takes it the next step further, but it's still sort of a it's almost like Groundhog Day, you know, where just like each new episode they're just getting sort of the same thing happening. I'm not saying that as a criticism of it. It's a very arty way of telling the story. I like it.
It really shows, like, the nitty-gritty of, like, long battles, too. Because, like, God, can you imagine stuff, like, during the Revolutionary War where one battle would take, like, 9 months and you literally live in a trench for 9 months?
Yeah, and you are just marching out to get wiped out, too, to watch, you know, everybody get wiped out. So it's, like, it's grueling and it's tense, and it's been that way. This is the third episode of that tension. This is probably the most warlike war story of the whole Clone Wars show so far.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Obi Block Kenobi.
I have a note about that too.
Was that because they were using the Umbaran's technology or something?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. That is an Umbaran hologram.
Okay, I like it. It reminds me of old school graphics.
You know, I'll go ahead and tell my notes since we're talking about it anyway. I really like it too, because especially since it's so different from what we're used to seeing. It also seems like it's almost a little inferior to the ones that the Republic has, which is odd because they were with the Republic. But it makes me wonder if the Umbarans probably emphasize weapon building over communications, because their weapons are so advanced. It could also be something along the lines that Umbaras can see in ultraviolet light, so maybe they can see something in the hologram that is more clear, opposed to us and Krell in the audience. Like, they can't see it. But it makes me wonder if that's, like, something of Umbaran culture, where they were like, you know, as long as we can talk to the person, that's fine, you know.
Yeah, we don't need it to be high definition.
Yeah, and so, like, let's put all of our money more into this. So I think that would be a cool little thing if that was, like, a nod to, like, how Umbarans thought.
Or they just like things, they like the aesthetic of it. They're just like, yeah, it's cool, you know?
It is cool, it really is. I like things form and, like, the you know, like, when they showed the missiles coming in, like, the blocks broke apart and then reformed. Like, it's a really cool idea.
Yeah, they sort of fall down, like, they're actual blocks. They sort of fall down like they're water, you know, when it goes out and then reform. It's really cool.
Yeah.
But that's all the real notes I had for this one. Once again, I had no idea where each act was beginning or ending.
Yeah, I kind of had to guess it myself. I pretty much just cut each one at those 7-9 minute mark.
Right.
Because the screen flip was like at the 3 minute mark, and I was like, that's not the end of Act One. Because they're really good about having one screen wipe, so. I was like, either that or Act 2 is really long. Well, I only had two other notes outside of the hologram. One was, I like how Rex is just progressively getting more and more pissed off as Krell, and you can tell he's starting to get to that breaking point, but he's not quite there yet.
Well, I think their conversation with Obi-Wan is what did that, because basically Obi-Wan was getting ready to go, hey, wait a minute, you know, don't do that, do that, you know. Probably do what Rex had suggested, and Krell knew it too, and was just like, "Yeah, I'm not gonna call him back." You know?
Yeah.
He got, you know, it was the equivalent of "What? What? I can't hear you. What? Oh, we must be getting cut off. Oh, you know, sort of like when Grievous is on the phone with Dooku." So he was. I mean, now he's being just a dick, just to cost lives. It's you know, I mean, yeah, Rex. they're really, I mean, Rex is about as loyal as you get, and they're really pushing, or well, they, Krell is really pushing loyalty to its limits, you know?
Yeah, I think the breaking point is, to me, in the next act, like, because he's about to, I'm about to talk about it in a second when we get there, but he has a conversation with Fives, and I think that's his wake-up call. But this was, like, the last step to get to that wake-up call, because, I mean, Obi-Wan was about to say something that sounded really important about the airship, and then he got cut off, and Krell did not even try to call him back.
Yeah, he knew if he called him back, it would be a different outcome. So he
it would probably just wasn't Obi-Wan going, "Hey, that sounds like a really good idea. You should listen to your clones."
Yep. And he wasn't going for it, but he knew it. Obi-Wan knew it, and Rex knew it. So Rex is just like, "Hey, fuck you," you know.
Yeah. My only other note is Fives pointing out that Krell is not acting like other Jedi and doesn't respect the clones brought up an interesting thought in me. While it is Jedi code to protect and preserve life, is it a requirement for the Jedi to like the clones? I put respect, but like is what I meant.
I guess it's not a requirement for them to like him. As far as like respecting all life, I guess Krell could give the dick argument of the, you know, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few clones type thing and say, like, yeah, a lot of clones are going to die, but it's for the larger good of the universe, life in the universe.
You could also do something and be like, you know, you guys weren't born, you were made, you're like droids.
Yeah. I don't know, yeah. That seems un-Jedi-like too, but so far Krell's very un-Jedi-like in that aspect, so.
Yeah. My one thing is, I wish...
I think he caught a clone with his wife or something is what happened.
Jedi can't have wives. Only Anakin can have a wife.
No, I'm saying... Well, yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, I
maybe a Jedi kicked his dog at some point or something. Or a clone kicked his dog.
But, I mean, I have to wonder, like... Chris Krell's only in these four episodes... I would love to have seen him earlier on to see, like, a change or something, to see, like, what made him this way, or if, like, you know, or I would have loved some, like, much earlier Krell work just to kind of see where he came from. Because there are other Jedi, I'm trying to pick one that won't be, like, too much of... Well, just like Anakin, you know? We've seen Anakin's story from, like, how he started off to when he became Vader. So, like, we see that clear progression, and, like, Ahsoka is another good example. You know, we saw her very first appearance, and now we've seen her in Rebels. So, like, we know why these changes happen. Krell just shows up, and he's a dick. And I'm sitting here going, how did the Jedi, like, let this happen? Like, what is he like in the temple? Like, what is he like? Well, we know that he's okay and he's cool with other Jedi because we've seen it. But, like, I would have loved to see what he was like in the temple and, like, you know, Yoda coming up to him and being like, dude, you have really high casualty numbers. What are you doing? What is wrong with you? Like, what's going on? Like, we need to take care of these people. Like, I would have just loved, like, earlier Krell just to know why he's like this and why he is a dick. That just would have been really nice. Because he just shows up in the get-go, and he's a dick straight on. He's a dick, and he doesn't, you know, he's always a dick. He's the biggest, he's a forearm dick.
Yeah, he hasn't had much of an arc besides being just, like, slight variations on dick.
Yeah, like, sometimes he's chubby, sometimes he's long, sometimes he's a flat-out dildo.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, I would have really
He's had a
liked
couple him. Times where he was soft for a minute, but not for long.
Yeah, and then he got a hard-on again.
Yeah. So.
Dick jokes. Yay. But yeah, I would have really liked to have, like, earlier Krell work just to see, even if it was just, like, him, you know, for a minute, and just being like, hey, Obi-Wan. He's like, oh, hey, like, this is Cody. And he's just like, ugh, Cody. I mean, hey, Cody. So, I don't know. I feel like that is the one thing that is missing is just Krell background. So, especially since... I forgot what the name of his little forearm race is, but because the only one up to this point that we really know about is Obi-Wan's friend in the diner, and he's a nice guy. And he's
lovable. He's downright jovial and
So you can't blame it on the race. Like, you know, that race is just a race of grumpy people.
Well, like, it's like the Toydarians. A lot of the Toydarians were pretty cool, but, you know, the first Toydarian we met was a real jerk, you know? So Watto was, you know, completely, like, greedy and you know, sleazy and stuff, and then you realize, oh, okay, you know, he's just a sleazy Toydarian.
Yeah, and they haven't done that with other people. Like, I forgot what they're called, but Bosk's people. So yes. Far, we've seen Bosk, and then we saw the Wookiee Hunter guys, and they're all dicks.
Yeah, just jerks.
We haven't seen, like, a good one, so it might just be something of their people. Like, their people are just, like, hunting people, and that's just who they are. So I would have liked to have seen more Krell background. I think that's the only thing missing that's really missing from this arc, is just why he is the way he is. So, yeah. Well, that's all I have.
Are we ready for Act 2?
Yes, I am ready for Act 2. All right. Act 2. In the barracks, Rex says that the march to the Capitol will continue as planned. And Fives is like, bro, I have a better idea. We'll just do our thing, and if consequences happen, so be it. And Rex is like, oh my god, you'll be court-martialed. Well, guys, if it were up to me, I would totally say do it. But you guys aren't pilots. And Jesse's like, hey, if Hardcase can do it, any of us can do it. Let's do it. And then Dogma comes in to wreck the party, like a parent arriving home early. They all try and fail to act natural. Rex leaves and Fives follows him out. Fives and Rex get into a debate of working in a unit versus being individuals. Rex keeps saying that they're part of this bigger picture and they need to be good soldiers. And Fives is like, that's stupid. These orders are bad. There's no good soldiers if we're all dead. And Fives leaves the hangar to find himself some pilots. Or leaves the barracks to find himself some pilots. But now in the hangar, Fives, Jesse, and Hardcase are practicing their Umbara and ship flying. Good for about 3 seconds until Hardcase starts running into things. Krell calls in, so Fives has to stall like Han Solo going, well, oh god, so there's a safety drill, and I totally got things under control, and everything is fine. It's fine. We're all fine here. So how's your day? Did you see the new episode of Game of Thrones? I haven't caught up yet, but I heard there were dragons, and they were awesome. And Krell is like, I do not like Game of Thrones. What is happening for real? And Fives is like, I'm having trouble hearing you. You're breaking up. And then Hardcase accidentally sets off a cannon and blows a hole in the hangar wall. But Hardcase finally figures out the flying thing, so he's good. He has it all under control. Until Krell shows up and he's pissed. And Hardcase is like, well, hey, we were decrypting it and we stumbled on a booby trap. A booby trap, Krell says, and he doesn't sound convinced. They said boobies. Booby trap. A booby trap. Fives is all like, yeah, this totally happened just like that. It was a booby trap. And Rex has a look on his face of like, oh my god, you guys, come on, jeezy crazy guys, come on. And Krell orders the fighters to be locked down and leaves with Rex. Fives is like, yeah, we're still doing this, right? And Jesse and Hardcase volunteer because it beats blindly walking into certain depth. And Fives is like, okay, here's the plan, guys. We're pulling an episode 1 Anakin maneuver where we fly in and we blow up the command ship's main reactor. Let's do it, bros. But Fives has one more thing to do. He goes to tell Rex the plan because communication is very important. And Rex is like, are you freaking insane? But the men are set on the plan. And Rex says he can't stop them, but he also can't help them when they get caught. Fives and his men go to their ships. In the barracks, Dogma wakes up to find Fives, Jesse, and Hardcase are missing. He wakes up the rookie Tup, who's precious, and saying that those blasted troublemaking kids are going to disobey orders and they must tell the general. Despite being a rookie, Tup knows that this is the wrong choice and tries to stop him. But Dogma tells Tup that if he knows that something's happening and he doesn't tell Krell, they'll get in trouble too. The rookie is pushed into going along with Dogma. As Fives and his men takes off, Wretch watches them and flashes his first real smile of the entire arc. What'd you think of Act 2?
And this part goes to my repetition theory or observation or whatever about this episode.
Hmm.
And And this part is basically a repetition of, you know, the last two episodes where they're arguing about what they should do about Krell. And then it's got a little repetition of the last episode where they're messing around with the spaceships and we're like, hey, we can use these spaceships to do something.
Mm-hmm.
But they're taking it a step further now. Now we're going to go out and have a space battle with them. So it's this neat little thing where they're taking all the themes and repeating them episode to episode, and each time it goes a little further and a little further, and it really ratchets up. I mean, this has been a tension-filled arc, and that ratchets it up even more because the clones are between a rock and a hard place of, like, do we rebel and get in trouble, you know, potentially court-martialed and actually win, or do we just go out and get slaughtered because we have to follow orders, you know? And
you know, it's also kind of like an analogy of all of their characters. Like, they're all getting pushed a little bit more and more and more and more. They're being, same thing with, like, it's kind of an analogy of Rex. Like, he, you know, every episode he gets pushed a little bit further,
mm-hmm.
a little bit further. And as these scenarios are repeating, he's starting to stand up to them more and more. Like, he's like, this is happening again. I need to stop it this time because I didn't stop it last time.
Yeah, and he's stuck because there's really nothing he can officially do but follow orders. You know, he's just screwed. So it's making a lot of drama for this one on top of the awesome battles. And this one has, up to through these first two parts, has calmed down on the battles a little bit. You know, it's not a battle. It's been a lot of dialogue.
Emotional
and
battles.
Huh?
Emotional battles.
Yes. So it doesn't have that just like battlefield tension that the first one does yet, but
yeah.
it's got a different kind of tension, and yeah, it's really good. That's about all I really had to say about this one. I mean, it was mostly dialogue.
All right, so
like I said, that's why I think our notes are so short this time. I see how short your notes are on this one. It's like there's a lot of repetition, so a lot of the things we're talking about are just sort of like, well, this is like last time, only they just got pushed further, you know?
Yeah, I think the big difference is this is kind of like the regrouping episode. I feel like this is the episode where the clones are starting to take back their mojo a bit.
Yeah.
And so, but we needed the first two episodes for them to get to this point being like, you know what? Fuck it, let's steal some ships.
Yeah, and you know, and it's funny because I've been taken on that emotional journey because for the first two, I'm just like, hey, man, they got to follow Krell's orders. They got to follow Krell's orders. By this one, I'm like, yeah, you guys are going to have to somehow subvert Krell's orders without getting court-martialed if you want to live, you know?
Yeah.
So it's taking you right along with the clones. I like it.
So, you know, my notes are, you know how the clones always talk about brotherhood and sticking together and, like, Falcons rise up and stuff like that? But they recognize right away that Dogma is not with them. Like, when Dogma comes into the room, they all stop talking and look away. And it kind of seems out of character a little bit for the clones to shun one of their brothers. But I also think that's the individuality of the 501st shining through and able to recognize someone that is going to harm their plan. Because I think with the exception of Slick from season one, who was the traitor clone, this is the first other real time that we've seen them, like, kind of shun one of their brothers.
Well, it's not like they're giving him a blanket party or anything, but yeah, but they just know better than to say certain things around him because they know he's gonna, I mean, that it reminds me of when I was a little kid, you know, and when you're hanging around with your little kid and say your cousins come up to visit and you're out and you're like, hey, let's go off and cause trouble, you know, and you got the one little sister there that you know is going to be like, if you do this, I'm going to tell Mom, and that's Dogma.
And, yeah,
you know, they're along for the ride. They're your cousin, and you love them and everything. But at the same time, you're not going to let them in on the plan to break into the train and steal the railroad flares.
Yeah, though I don't know. Dogma's just a fascinating kind of character for me. I really like that he's here to act as a counter to all the other clones, and the fact that he's a clone, you know, just kind of helps balance out the episode. So it's not just like Krell being a dick and it's clones versus Krell. There's this other clone there too who is also arguing with them. And it just kind of gives that extra layer to the episode that there's they're not just against Krell. There's somebody else out there that they're sort of against as well.
Yeah.
Though, in the talk with Fives and Rex, when they were debating the Republic system and stuff like that, Fives said that he supports the Republic system, but it just sounds like he's trying to convince himself at that point. Like, he's like, I totally support this thing, I guess.
Well, he's still got to have, even though he's the rebellious clone, he's still got to have some of that clone obedience bred into him, you know?
Because I would take it as by right now, he's just like, I'm ready just to fight for my brothers, fuck everything else. You know, that's the only reason why I'm here. But I guess, you know, that was the first time I really heard that, and I was just like, I guess he's not there yet, you know?
Well,
he's,
I mean, he might want to believe that the Republic system is good, but, you know, since he's starting to doubt it, you know, that still doesn't mean he wouldn't like to believe it, you know, and not have to have those, you know, nagging doubts.
Yeah. So I just, that was a little moment that stuck out to me. And I also just love Five's little Han Solo scene trying to delay Krell while Hardcase is just crashing into everything in the background.
Yeah, it plays, it's funny. It plays a lot of the same beats, you know, it has the same sort of rhythm as that whole scene too.
Yeah, it's just the whole, like, in some of his facial expressions, like, he's just like, yeah, it's, you know, just
second
a thing, and like Hardcase is like almost hitting him in the head. He's just like, oh, we're fine. Ah,
second episode 4 quote in 2 episodes.
Yeah, so I really love that scene too. It's just so much fun to watch. He's trying not to get his head taken off while saying everything is okay. So when Rex says that he can't help Fives and his crew when they get caught, I was wondering, if it was any other Jedi, I have to wonder if Rex would be fighting back more. It's like Krell has backed Rex so far back into a corner that Rex feels helpless and lost, which is what makes it so great that, like, Fives is stepping up into the leader role. Like, he's able to kind of, like, get around Krell because he's not the leader of the 501st.
Well, if it was any other Jedi, they probably would not be in that position in the first place. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's kind of nice. Like, the fact that Rex is so backed up in the corner, it's giving Fives a chance to shine. It's, yeah. And like Jesse and Hardcase and those other clones. And I think that's kind of like I think Rex kind of understands that too. Like, he knows that he can't do things, but he can keep Krell off their back too, so they can do things. And we kind of saw that last week when he was like, Fives, tell you what, I will fight the human centipede. You go to the airbase. I will keep them busy. Hurry so we don't die. But I get sad because Rex is so pushed into a corner, it's nice because we're getting to see other people shine.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. I want to talk about Tup for a second. So I like that even though Tup is a rookie, he knows the difference between right and wrong with everything that's happening. And he, like, so when Dogma was like, you know, like, we need to go tell Krell, like, he, like, popped up right away. He was like, no, we can't tell Krell anything. We can't say anything. It's bad. And I just, Tup is one of those characters that, like, I think he really embodies, like, you know, coming into the 501st and everything. But I just wanted to point this out because, you know, Dogma pretty much tells Tup, like, you know, if you sit by while things are happening, you become complacent and you're part of the problem. Well, I just want to note that because that's kind of a thing that happens in season 6 with Tup, and he's kind of an important character, but it's not Tup doing it. It's someone that's around Tup that pretty much has that same stance of if I continue to be complacent, something bad will happen. But it's around Tup, but it's someone else that's with Tup at the time. I don't want to give away spoilers, but I just wanted to note that because it's kind of an important moment around Tup, but he is also, I just like the fact that he knows that there is something wrong, and, like, you know, the other 501st brothers are like, Tup, you're with us now, don't listen to Dogma, and, like, he knows, he kind of gets bullied into it too. Like, Tup's like, you know, you're a rookie, you don't know what you're talking about, don't listen to them, come to the cool side with Krell, and we'll see that in Act 3. Like, Tup ends up going with Dogma on this one, And I think it's kind of sad because he is a rookie and he's kind of caught between all these different voices, and I don't think he knows quite what he wants.
Yeah, no, he's just blown in the wind.
Yeah, and it was his poor man bun. He just needs to let down his hair because man buns are gross.
Yep. I agree. They got to be uncomfortable with one of those helmets on, too.
Yeah, God.
I wasn't really understanding how that worked and how that would be comfortable.
Yeah. No, his little sad tear on his face. Sad teardrop. So, also, just in Clone Wars in general, Rex doesn't smile a lot, but it's always nice when he smiles because, you know, it's like a moment where it, like, means something. It means something when Rex smiles. He doesn't smile a lot, but it's always nice. I can only think of two other times off the top of my head that Rex smiled. And one was, I know he smiled at Kel Quinn and his wife. And the other one is when Ahsoka met Anakin. Rex was there, and Ahsoka mouthed off to Anakin, and Rex laughed at him. Yeah. And then covered his mouth. And I those are the only times I can think of off the top of my head that he smiled.
I'm sure there was some smiling in Rebels.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm talking Clone Wars so far. Yeah. There's plenty of smiling in Rebels. Like, he was fishing for Jupas, and they were like, yeah, let's fuck the Empire! And then I know he smiled when he saw Ahsoka. I know he smiled a few times in Rebels, but, like, so far in Clone Wars, those are the only times off the top of my head that I can think of him smile. He's probably smiled like, you know, like they won a battle or something, but I just, when Rex smiles, it always seems like it's an important thing, because he always smiles at important moments. So, I just like Rex smiling. Hashtag, let's Rex smile more. All the smiles. Well, that's all I have for Act 2.
All right, are we ready to get into the... Now we get into the war part of this story.
Oh, it's such a cool moment when those clouds part. So cool. All right, Act 3?
Act 3.
All right. The mission is a go. Team Jesse Fives and Hardcase zoom into the air. Jesse is like, these things are really hard to fly, but it's better than Krell's plan, so I'm going to do this because Krell's a dick. And Hardcase is just like, I'm doing this for the fun! Let's go blow shit up, guys! And then the clouds part, and there's a huge sky battle happening. And Jesse is like, I'm having second thoughts about this, guys. And Fives is like, just keep flying straight and don't get shot at. They form up with some other Umbaran airships to hide and then peel away, easily blending in. They spot the supply ship and head for it. Meanwhile, back on the ground, Krell is pissed and goes to find Rex, demanding answers to what is happening, because now three ships are missing. Rex, glorious Rex, is on board with Team Descent and makes up a bullshit lie to cover Fives' ass. He says he authorized a reconnaissance mission to go spy on the Capitol, so Krell, can make a better plan, so everything is for Krell. And Krell is like, a gift for me? You shouldn't have. Okay, I just want the report. Carry on. And Rex spots Dogma and Tup coming up to ruin everything. He runs to stop them, and Dogma says he needs to speak to Krell about a personal matter. Rex protects his men, saying that they should just tell him. Dogma chickens out this time and leaves. Rex is like, yeah, bitch, walk away. Leave my men out of this. Back up in the sky, Fives and his crew arrive, and we have battle droids! Hooray! I love battle droids! They spot the clones inside the ship and signal the alarms. And they start closing all the hangar doors, but Hardcase shoots through them. His ship gets damaged, though. The droids throw up ray shields to protect the reactors, and the clones slam on the brakes. They're under heavy fire, and they're trapped. Hardcase unlocks his cannon from the ship and goes, and runs into it with the reactor. He is doing this for his brothers and tells Fives and Jesse to leave. He's going to save his brothers from certain death, and Fives pleads with him to come back, but Hardcase is like, I'm a crazy bastard! If I die, I'm taking this fucking ship with me! And Fives and Jesse pull out and fly for the exit. Hardcase throws his cannon at the reactors and tells his brothers to live to fight another day. The reactor explodes with Hardcase killing him. Fives and Jesse are pulling in, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, and flying as fast as they can out of the supply cruiser as fire barrels towards them. They get out and the supply ship explodes. From the ground, Rex watches the explosion, smiling again in approval that their crazy plan actually worked. Fives and Jesse return to the airbase when they meet Tup and Rex. There's no celebration, because they're mourning the loss of Hardcase. Sergeant Apo arrives, demanding to see Fives and Jesse in the tower. Rex Fives and Jesse comes before Krell. It starts off well, with Krell going, "You guys did a very brave thing." And that ends after 3 seconds, when Krell goes, "But you guys disobeyed my orders! Not cool, you guys! Not cool!" Rex tries to take the blame for it, since he ordered Fives and Jesse to do it. And then Fives cuts in and says, "Actually, Rex told us not to do it. We did it because Krell sucks, clones rule, we just proved it, sucka! Suck it, forearms!" And Krell is like, "So, you crossed me. Fine, you will be court-martialed and executed at the start of next week's episode. Take them away!" And Rex is like, "Oh shit, next week's gonna be hella crazy." The end.
Yeah, Krell is just like, "Yeah, I'm not even gonna bother doing suicide missions. They're too complicated. I'm just gonna have the clones killed."
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Cut out the middleman.
Because pretty much what it is they do this really brave thing. They get rid of the supply ship, which is what's keeping them from the capital. And Krell goes, "Good job, you're dead."
"Yeah, I'm going to kill you now. You did a great job, so we don't need you anymore."
I mean, I have to wonder if it's like a power thing. Like, you know, they made me look bad, so I'm going to make sure they're in place.
It's the pecking order sort of thing, and the discipline sort of thing, of where he's like, "Yeah, they did save the day, but if I let them get away with it, then that tells future clones that they can be insubordinate and get away with it, and they cannot. So mm-hmm. I will not have it's zero tolerance, you know, basically." The space battle is like a combination of episode 3 and episode 1.
There was only one thing I wish that was in the space battle, because I thought it was there and it didn't happen and I forgot it wasn't there, was like a Republic ship shooting at them and they're just like, they think we're Umbarans.
I was wondering that too. Like, they should have had to fight through their own ships to get to there. You know what I mean? They should have been like, "Oh, shit. These are our guys after us."
Because easily the battle droid saw them inside the ship. So, like, maybe another clone ship was, like, coming in to shoot at them, and they saw them. They're like, "Oh, shit, don't shoot them.
Let those guys go," yeah. It would have been nice to have a little scene of that, of one of them pulling up beside them and seeing, Fives just going like, whoa.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, like, that could have given them away. There wasn't enough time to do that, because this is already kind of I don't want to say a jammed pack episode. I mean, I guess they could have trimmed it for, like, a 10-second scene. But, I mean, like, still, I mean, that would have been extra time that they didn't have.
I'm so great to see the droids back, although one of them's just like, "I just got off break." And it's like, nobody got off break. You're in the middle of a giant battle. Who goes on break in the middle of a giant battle?
I thought that too, because he was just like, "All right, guys, break's over." And I was like, "Do droids actually need breaks? I mean, I guess they need a recharge, but that's still just..."
Yeah, but this was like lunch break, you know? It's like, come on, no, it's the middle of the battle. Nobody's on break. But still, it's good to see the droids back, and you know, and then they're going to die 2 seconds later anyway, so that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and I love it, because he was just like, "Guys, get back on break," and then he turned and a ship ran over him, so... It was great. I like that little moment. I always love to see the battle droids.
Yeah, I thought Hardcase is like, "Live to fight another day, boys," was a little cheesy, but hey, he's a little cheesy. It was kind of perfect.
That's actually the title of one of my favorite Clone Wars fan fictions. It's called "Live to Fight Another Day," and it's a fan fiction where Rex is gravely injured. So Anakin's like, "Blood transfusion, he needs blood," and they take blood out of Anakin and put it in Rex, and like, Rex is full of midichlorians. It's just like, "I'm a Jedi now."
Oh, okay, I think you've told me about this one before.
Yeah, but the title of it is called "Live to Fight Another Day." It's a good little fan fiction. The person wrote it, though, before the end of Clone Wars, so like, the ending is different from Clone Wars, so it goes on kind of a different direction. But it's a lot of fun. I like it a lot, because he's just like, "Oh, shit, I have powers."
But that's all the notes I had, really, for this one.
All right, so for me, this episode is a prime example of why I love Clone Wars so much. Because we've talked about it before, about how, like, the prequels failed because they didn't give light to the clones. And so not knowing a lot about the clones, it wasn't a huge tragedy when Order 66 happened in episode 3. So that's what makes episode like this so great, because we see that the clones care about the Republic. They want to get to this capital city, and they want to save it because they know it's part of their duty. And they care for the Jedi because they, except for Krell, they don't give a shit about Krell, but they care for the other Jedi. And they're individuals, and they don't always get along like with Dogma, but they still are individuals, and they love each other, and they have different personalities, because Fives is very different from Dogma, and they're smart, and they adapt, and they know the difference between right and wrong, and that's what makes Clone Wars such an important show in Star Wars, and why it's so important to the canon, and what makes the clones so important, because it makes Order 66 so tragic at the end, because we know these people now, like, we know who they are, and we know their names, we know their personalities, and then you see them being forced to shoot down their friends, and that just, this is just a prime example of what makes Clone Wars so good, and why it's such an important part of the Star Wars canon.
Oh, yeah. The Marvel movies are sort of in the same vein, but I think, you know, people really don't seem to, I don't think they're quite understanding George Lucas's genius yet of, like, how it's a sort of a, he's telling the story in a different way, especially with the prequels, you know? The prequel movies, well, by episode three also helped sort of improve episode one and two, you know, it added some stuff that made those movies seem better. But then Clone Wars comes along, and so now you've got this TV show that you're sort of watching in conjunction with these movies, and it's enhancing them, you know, and it's enhancing the overall story, and it's widening and broadening and deepening that story, and it's just sort of a new way of doing things, you know?
Yeah,
there's always been, like, comics that go along with stuff, but they've always sort of been done independently along with it. And George Lucas sort of started this where, you know, these cartoons, like, a lot of times if someone did a cartoon based on a movie, it would just sort of be its own thing and wouldn't have to necessarily tie in with the movie. This ties in and improves on the movie, so it's just great.
I mean, we saw that when we did our episode 3 commentary, because I hadn't seen I haven't seen episode 3 since I'd watched Clone Wars, and I was just like, oh my god, this is tragic.
It's a different movie. Yeah,
it's a totally different movie, like, because you know these people, like, when I see, I think it's Commander Bly, when I see Bly shoot down Aya Sakura, like, I'm just sitting here going, you guys are friends, there's fan fiction of you two dating, don't shoot your girlfriend.
That's why I like Rebels too. Rebels is like tying the movies and Clone Wars and Rebels all together. You know, it's very well done.
Oh, I'm not ready for the end of Rebels and season 4. It's gonna be fucking insane. I just know it's gonna be a lot of death, because I don't foresee a way for Ezra and Kanan to get out of it.
They end up in the pyramid.
Maybe. I mean, Maul survived for, like, 15 years under the radar.
Right.
So, I mean, if Maul can do it, anybody can do it, because he had spider legs and crazy. He's a crazy-ass bastard. And Ahsoka did it, too. She survived under the radar. So there could be hope that... I feel that... I don't... You know, Ezra would be the one I think would make it out. I don't foresee Kanan getting out of season 4. I don't. Ezra would be the one that... Just because he's the main character... And he's the kid, but I kind of have a feeling that they might slide him under the radar, but I don't see Kanan getting out.
Yeah.
It hurts my feelings, because Kanan and Hera are, like, my favorite character. I'm gonna cry!
Kanan, I think, is sort of on Yoda's radar, too.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
Like, I still hold up, like, some, like, tiny, like, little inch of hope that, like, somehow they, like, sneak away, but at the same time, like, then why aren't they in the original trilogy popping up when they're needed and stuff?
Right, right. It's
like, it just, we know for a fact that Hera and Chopper get out, because they're both in Rogue One, so we know that they get out, but everybody else is on the chopping block, and it hurts my feelings. It hurts my feelings so
well. Anybody else story-wise can actually survive it into the future anytime, because they're just sort of regular fighters.
Yeah.
But Ezra and Kanan are Force user Jedi type people, and there's just no room for them beyond episode 4, really, but even more so Empire Strikes Back, once Yoda's pulled into the picture and Yoda and Obi-Wan are discussing Luke Skywalker, and, you know, basically the only hope is Luke and Leia at that point, you know.
Yeah,
so if Kanan and Ezra are around, they were kind of on Yoda's radar and Obi-Wan's radar. Kanan at least was probably has met Obi-Wan and Obi-Wan's met Ezra, right?
Yeah, he met him in Twin Suns.
Right. Okay. So yeah. If he's met Ezra before, he would be like, "Hey Yoda, what about Ezra and Kanan?" You know, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing I can think of is a stupid technicality, but they said that there are no more Jedi left, and I guess the only thing I can think of is if maybe Kanan and Ezra pull like an Ahsoka move and they just walk away from the Jedi way of life. So there's still Force users out there, but they're not just technically Jedi, which would make it to where there's no Jedi left.
Yeah, but still,
it's such a technicality that
it's
like
a technicality, and if you were in Obi-Wan and Yoda's position, you'd be like, yeah, they're technically not Jedi, but what does that even mean at that point, you know? There's Which no Jedi be- Council, there's no organization of Jedi.
It could be what The Last Jedi is completely about, is Luke going, we need to redo the Jedi Order. I mean, maybe that's what the Last Jedi is even about. But I mean, it could be something along that line. But that's such a technical thing.
Yeah.
That I don't.
No, they can use the Force, and they know how to swing a lightsaber, and are pretty advanced. Ezra, especially.
Yeah, I mean, so does Aura Singh. Aura Singh was a Padawan that walked away, and she can use a lightsaber. But that doesn't make her a Jedi. And the Inquisitors are thrown into that too.
No, though, but she's not. She did not get as far as Kanan did, and Ezra's then the next level. You know.
Yeah. I totally get what you mean. It's just one of those things. I really want them to survive just because I like them, but I don't foresee them.
I don't see how it could happen. But that's how I thought about Ahsoka with Clone Wars too, and there she was in Rebels. Not that we know if she survived Rebels or not.
Yeah. So it's just. It'd be interesting to see, but my heart's not ready. But it's going to be right around the corner. They're doing their first screenings soon. Dave Filoni is doing a screening in late August or early September, and then the show's coming back. So it's right around the corner.
Excellent.
So I can't wait, but I'm also scared. I'm scared and terrified and excited and happy all at the same time. But yeah, anyway, I like how when we got to this third act, Rex has learned how to stall Krell, and it's great, because he's pretty much like, hey, Krell, we're doing everything for you, because we want to make you look great, sir, and make your plan work, because it's all for you, and Krell totally buys it.
I don't think he does. I think he goes along with it, but he's just like, all right, let's see where this goes. I think he knows they're lying, and he's giving him some rope. I think he's just like, all right, we'll see what they're up to. Okay, well, then I'm going to expect a full report then.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea that Krell was so full of himself that they just, like, you know, jerk him off a little bit. And Krell was like, oh, that was nice. Aw, you're finally understanding. Like, that's how I kind of took it. Like, oh, Captain, you finally get it now.
He's a dick, but he's still a Jedi dick.
Why doesn't Krell, like Jedi mind trick them more, I wonder?
Why doesn't he what?
Jedi mind trick more, but, like, tell me what's happening. And
Rex, I don't think clones are good. I don't think clones are dull-witted enough to,
ooh, that's
to fall
true.
For
that's
the Jedi mind trick.
That's actually true. That happened in the Clone Wars movie. It's in the Clone Wars movie, and Asajj Ventress is facing off against Rex, and she tries to Jedi mind trick Rex. And he plays along with it, and he keys off Anakin that Ventress is there.
Yeah.
I remember that now, so you're right. You're right about that. So.
You have to be weak-willed, maybe Dogma.
I think just Dogma is just so far up.
Or maybe the new guy, too, you know?
Well, the newbie. Top, my little piece of Tupperware holding the cinnamon rolls on the inside. I love Top. He's so precious. I love him. Oh, he's the baby. All right. So I think it was last week I was talking about this. But whenever we see Fives, he loses someone under his watch. Because we saw, like, his first appearance, he lost most of the Domino Squad and rookies. Then he lost 99, and then he lost Echo. But now he's losing Hardcase. And it's a bit different this time, because those past times he lost people in battle. But this time, it's straight up Fives' plan. Like, it is his plan that makes Hardcase die. And it makes Hardcase have to act to complete the mission, because the plan doesn't go the way they thought. So this puts Fives in a place that's completely new for him, because he can do one of these few things. He can either blame himself, he can blame Krell's leadership for pushing them there, or it can be all of the above. But this is just another push for Fives to make him, like push him away from trusting the Jedi and the Republic, because Krell put him in this position to make this plan that got Hardcase killed.
Hey, if all three of them got killed on that mission, it was still a successful mission, you know?
Yeah.
Because they would have been like wiped out in a heart, or you know, three people get wiped out in a heartbeat with Krell. So they got, you know, if all three of them sacrificed themselves, it was still tactically sound. And I think, you know, I don't think Fives loses people under his watch due to ineptitude. I think he loses people during his watch because they're clones in the middle of the Clone Wars. So you're just going to lose people under your watch like crazy. They just don't like losing ridiculous amounts, you know? They don't like losing people anyway, but, like, losing people when you don't have to, that's a different thing, you know? That's a whole different philosophical thing when you're a soldier.
I think the difference is, like let's take, not Rex, let's take someone like Fives versus Cody. Cody is a commander, and he loses people under his watch all the time because it's a battle. But the difference is, I think Fives is more personable, and he has more of a relationship, like, you know, because he really, like, makes a point to, like, I feel, and I'm not saying that Cody's not personable. Like, he knows, like, people on his team, like Waxer and Boyle and stuff like that. But I think for, as a viewer, like, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. I guess we understand Fives more because he's more of that, he goes out of his way for his men kind of thing. I don't know what word I'm looking for. But I get the feeling that he respects them more and he wants to protect them more. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
So I think that's the difference. Like, I feel like if it was Cody in that position and Hardcase died, I think Cody would be like, well, it was part of the battle. He sacrificed. It was a noble sacrifice. I feel like Fives is a person who would take it more to heart.
Well, he's he's a little more cynical, too, than...
Yeah. Like, I feel like he would take Hardcase's death to heart because it was his plan to do it in the first place. My next note is, oh, Hardcase, you were only here 3 episodes and you left your mark. You will be missed.
He went out the way you would have liked to.
Yeah, in a hail of fire and
blood.
No, because I was thinking about that. I'm like, you know, there's so many other clones and stuff like that, and like, we have... Because Jesse is normally the jokester clone. Like, we've seen every time Jesse comes up, he's usually the one cracking jokes. But they really focused on Hardcase for 3 episodes. But it was to make his death a little bit more meaningful.
Yeah.
It
makes sense.
So, I was thinking about Dogma a little bit. And like, him being up each other's ass, like, Krell's ass and stuff like that. And then it kind of struck me that Dogma reminds me of the Imperial officers that we've seen in Rebels. And I keep thinking about that one episode with Agent Alexander Callis, because we finally got Alexander's first name. Dave Filoni went on, I think it was the Wookiee Gunners podcast, and they asked him, like, they're like, what is Callis's first name? And he said Alexander. But it's spelled Alexander. Alexander. Alexander Callis, we are waiting in the wings for you. If you join Rebels now, together we can turn the tide. Oh my god, when we get to Rebels, I'm going to be singing Hamilton the entire time. But yeah, oh my god, I freaked out when I found out that his first name was Alexander. I don't think it's officially confirmed, but Dave Filoni was like, yeah, no, his name is Alexander. It's spelled A-L-E-X-S-A-N-D-R. And I was like, I'm like, ah, Dave Filoni, why? But anyway, I kept thinking back to the episode with Agent Callis that was from his point of view. And in that episode, the other officers were just gunning, just like suck up to Thrawn. And they were just trying to Highlander each other out of the way to move up in the ranks. And I kind of get that feeling from Dogma a little bit. Like he's trying to be a good soldier because I think he sees that he can move past people if he like blindly follows orders.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, he just seems like the kind of like he doesn't have the thinking for himself genes tweaked as much, you know?
Okay, I can
he's
see that.
He's just sort of like the blind follower, but I could see that.
Yeah, I think it could go both ways. Like, he's not as individually bred as some of the other members of the 501st, but I also think there's a point of, like, you know, if I follow orders perfectly, I could be a sergeant by the end of this.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, well, maybe, but that's just like, yeah, because he's an order follower, and he's like, I follow the orders, and I follow the rules, and then it leads to this.
Yeah. So if I had a gripe about any of this at all, I do wish that Rex started a little sooner, pushing back a little harder. Because he's starting to maneuver around Krell now. Like, he's, like, telling him lies, and he's taking blame for stuff. And I just kind of wish he started that last week. Because he did it some last week when he sent Fives and Hardcase to take the airbase. But it's just like with him being Anakin's right-hand man and having chosen not to turn in Cut Laquane and having all these things, I felt like last week, like, Rex kind of took a couple steps back because he kept following Krell's orders. But so that it made me really happy this week to see him finally starting to push back more because I feel like he probably
things had to get to a certain level for him to do that. You know, he could, you know, so you had to, he had to, like, suck it up and get to that point to where he would start rebelling a little bit, but I'm sort of glad he didn't too early. I think it wouldn't have made sense. I think Rex is too tough, and yet Anakin and Krell are different, but he also, if he fucks up with Krell, it's going to make Anakin look bad too, so.
That's true. I mean, it makes sense. I just wish he did kind of push back a little bit last week. I just wish it was a little bit more. Even if it was him having
one. They got four episodes to work that arc, you know?
Yeah. I just wish there was maybe, like, one extra scene of him. Because, you know, very first episode of during Darkness of Umbara, at the end, Krell was like, you retreated and stuff. And Rex was like, we lost good men today. Not clones. Men. But he didn't have that last week, you know? He didn't have that moment of, like, getting in Krell's face and just being like, dude,
well, because he saw that didn't really help in the end, you know? Krell backed off a little bit, but it didn't really, you know, just in his attitude, but it didn't really change the way he acted after that. So it wasn't like, it didn't bear fruit, you know? So he's trying to think of ways to work around that and to see where he can get them through this thing without ending up putting everybody in prison, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Prison sounds better than walking into a capital that's with missiles.
Yeah, not if you're a clone, though, probably.
That's true. It's probably not a good thing. They'll probably get sent back to Kamino, studied, and killed.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really glad we had the updated animation for this episode, too, because Fives and Hard Cases made the most priceless expressions all episode.
And it sets them apart more, too.
Yeah.
You can tell them apart a lot easier.
I like Hard Cases, like, little finger wiggle, like, we'll just sneak in there, wiggle, wiggle, finger.
Yes,
wiggle.
Yes, that was some finger acting, yes.
And, like, when Fives was, trying to stall Krell, and he just, like, kept rolling his eyes and just like, oh, yeah, they're fine. Like, they just made such good facial expressions. I love the updated animation. So I'm going to ask you kind of pretty much the same question I had last week. So what's up with Krell? The clones are obviously saved the mission by blowing up the supply ship, but Krell wants them killed.
He's a stickler.
He's a
by the books guy. Yeah, you saved the day, but you broke the rules, and nobody gets to break the rules.
So
If I let you break the rules, I'm going to have to let someone else break the rules, and nobody gets to break the rules.
So do you think it's all just like a power play on his part?
I don't know if it's as much a... It could be a power play, or it could just be he's that kind of super control freak person, you know? Or he has that super dogmatic philosophy that, like, you know, you can't let any insubordination go. Yeah, it's a zero, he's operating under zero tolerance and by the books. So, you know, technically he's just not going to let anything go by with the clones. You know, they're there to follow orders, and if they deviate from that, then the course is set in the rule book of what you're supposed to do, and that is a court martial.
Mm-hmm. So, do you think if there was any other, like, if it was like Obi-Wan, he'd been like, good job, guys!
Yeah, Obi-Wan and Anakin would have been just like, all right, job done, you know? Good job, Rex, you know, let's go home and get something to eat, you know? Krell seems to be more into being a general. He's more of a general type than a Jedi Knight, conscripted into battle. He's really taking the role of military very seriously.
You know, it makes me wonder if, like, Anakin likes him much, because Krell is very much acting like how Tarkin wanted the Jedi to act.
Yeah, but at the same time, Anakin's goes in both direct, cuts both ways, you know. Because Anakin, he's a stickler for some rules, but he's also, other rules he's just willing to toss away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little self-serving.
So what do you think is going to happen next week?
I'm hoping next week we get some idea of why Krell's such a dick.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hoping, is we get some reason that I'm hoping that Krell finally gets it through his thick skull. I don't think that probably will happen. That's what I'd like to see. I'm interested. I have no idea. I mean, the predictable thing is we're going to find out why Krell's such a dick, and the clones are going to save his ass, and he's going to be like, all right, I'm not going to prosecute you or whatever. But we'll see, because saving his ass hasn't seemed to work for him as far as mellowing him out towards the clones. You know, I want to find out if a clone ran over his dog or something.
What do you think is going to happen with, like, Jesse Fives and Rex and all of them?
Oh, they're obviously not going to get court-martialed. I don't think that's part of that's in the cards as the ending of it. Rex especially, I know, is not going to get court-martialed and executed.
Well, yeah, we know that now. So.
And Fives isn't, because you've hinted that we got to watch Fives in future seasons.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I'm paying attention.
Damn it.
You don't sneak nothing by me. And so that leaves just Jesse, and are they just going to prosecute Jesse? No. So, yeah, I'm not too worried. Yeah. I'm not like, oh, shit, they're going to die. I'm like, oh, okay, how are they going to get out of this?
Well, that's all I have. So, do you want to score up the episode, Chris?
I will. I'm giving it the exact same score as last time, 8.75, because it's kind of the same show, which would maybe make it score lower, but when they repeat the themes, they take them further each time, so I'm digging that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, 8.75, poised on going up into the nines, depending on how this thing ends up.
I'll be interested to see what you think about next week. I'm interested to see what you think about it. So it's, next week is fun. I like it. Next week is my favorite episode of Clone Wars, so I'm very excited to see what you think about it.
All right.
Yeah, it's my, if I had to pick one episode that is my favorite episode of Clone Wars, it's next week. So I'll be interested to see what you think. So, because I think, from what you have said, your thoughts could go one way or another. So, well, for me, I love this episode. Fives, Harkes, and Jesse shine as they take command, and they're getting shit done. And Rex is starting to come out of his funk, doing little things here and there to protect the other clones. And Dogma just fascinates me as the counter-argument to all the other clones. And we're getting more and more clone character development on all sides, showing why Clone Wars is just an important show in the Clone Wars canon. And I just love everything about this episode. So the first one was a 9, the second one was a 9.5. This is a 9.75 out of 10.
Wow.
Next week is my 10.
I guess so, yeah. I was just saying, that next week doesn't really have much further up to go.
You know, I knew I was going to be scoring this like this because I knew how this arc went. So I knew exactly how I was going to score it each and every episode. So going into it. So, yeah. I knew. Especially just like, I just give such high marks to like Jesse and Dogma and Fives. And just Fives' scene of trying, like pulling a Han Solo is just such a great scene. I love everything about it. So I'm happy. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on either iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. We especially love to hear you on iTunes because if you rate and review the show, it helps people find the show and it moves us up into like iTunes ranks and stuff. So if you like what we do, drop us a line there. Or if you don't like what we do, just let us know and we'll read it on the show. So, yeah. Well, this week our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, Gungan Attack.
All right. The first one is from Patrick Delmore. So I get to do the voice, but it's only a short one because he says, I hate this arc. Ah, I thought it was not bad.
You know, it was better than I remembered it. Like, I hated going into it. I mean, it's still not, like, the best thing. It's no Umbara. But, I mean, I liked it better than I remembered it. But it was okay.
Hey, this is from the guy who was all up Mortis's butt, so there you go.
Wasn't he, like, in support of Mortis?
He liked Mortis, yes. He's one of the Mortis lovers.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. We got one from Paul C. Kelly who said, just listen to this, and the fact that it is 3 a.m. means I should probably wait until tomorrow. Right. But as always, I am ignoring Yoda's advice of patience. Well, there's a Yoda from the movies, and then there's a Yoda from our show. I don't think the Yoda from our show is much of a proponent of patience.
True that.
So Hope was curious in this episode if I was watching episodes along with the show. Possibly because it is this late normally when I write these, my brain might be skipping thoughts. In terms of my response about the Citadel episode, my writing was reflecting back on the thoughts I had about the episode when I watched it back in 2016. So to make a long answer short, no, I'm not watching for the first time along with the show, although when I first heard the show, you were talking about maybe Corruption episode of Season 3. Oh, that was the one with all the corruption in it.
Corruption!
And there was some corruption. And somewhere you mentioned how Season 5 is great, which motivated me to finish to the end of Season 6. I agree that Droid Arc is bad. It has the most boring planet, I think, in Star Wars.
Oh, God, the Season 5 drone arc is so bad. Gregor is the only good part of that arc.
Hopefully that was blown up by the Death Star, lol. Anyway, do not want to spoil future episodes. Yeah, it is fun to listen to your show, to hear things I miss, and then to watch the episodes after hearing. So Kit Fisto is in this episode. I figure I will mention Kit Fisto versus Grievous in the Clone Wars soundtrack is excellent. More thoughts to come, but for now, I better crash. Yes, you should.
He never brought us more thoughts. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Patrick. Well, as we always do, Chris hates American Kit Kats. He thinks they're dumb and that they don't pay their child support. And the baby cats are just sad because they never get to see their cat daddy.
Stupid. And
so our friend Dario, who is Chris's co-podcaster for Eat and Beat It, is a flight attendant. And he sends us candy from all over the world to review on our show. Where's this one from? Where's my note?
I can't find this in the notes where it is.
This
might be a mystery one.
Mystery one? Well, let's see if we
can. Let's see what language it looks like on the back. Does it have
It looks like it's something Latino.
Yes.
Oh, Choco and Caramel is from Portugal.
Portugal, all right.
Ah.
All right, this one looked good, so I was like, let's do this one this week.
It smells good.
It looked like it might have wafer in it, but it might be nougat. So it might be kind of like a Snickers without without peanuts.
We're doing Choco and Caramel from Mr. Chalk.
It is kind of like a Snickers, but more flavorful.
Oh my god, so good.
The nougat is more like chocolatey nougat than white nougat.
It's oh my good. God. Mm-hmm. It's a little sweet for me, but that's
it's right. Very sweet. It's got a little fruitiness to it, almost.
Oh, I taste that, maybe... yeah. Mmm.
Mm-hmm. I like the caramel.
Mm-hmm. I'm not the biggest caramel fan, just because I have weak enamel, so sometimes caramel gets stuck in my teeth for days. But it's really good. Mmm. Actually, it reminds me of a Three Musketeers with caramel. But better.
Mm-hmm. Mmm. Three Musketeers, yeah. I forgot about Three Musketeers bars.
Oh man, that's one of my favorite candies just because you bite it and you just let the entire thing just melt for an hour in your mouth. And then you take another bite. Oh man, that's really good, but I don't think I can finish it all in one sitting because it's so sweet. Mmm, that's delicious. Thank you, Dario. We love you. Chris is going to say hi to you for me when he goes to your cook-off, your pig roast. But I'm going to be there in spirit.
Yeah, in a little more than a week, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, this episode will come out after that, but still, thank you, Dario.
Yep.
I hope you guys have a good time.
Mm. Yeah, this episode will be like weeks after that.
Yeah, well, I hope you guys had a great time, and I hope Chris didn't, you know, make a fool of himself.
I will.
He'll be representing both me and him.
Mm-hmm.
So, all the dirty Yodas.
I'll be as classy can be.
Well, where can people find you, Chris?
As always, you can find me at twotruefreaks.com. That is our website. That's where we release all our podcasts, along with we release them on iTunes too. But I like the idea of people going to our website and subscribing to our podcast.
Me too, because on iTunes you can't see your great episode artwork for every week.
And I realize that iTunes is like the format that works for everybody on their phones and all that. So do what you got to do to get Two True Freaks episodes. But if you're sitting at home on your laptop, you can just go there and play episodes and listen to them in the background while you're doing something else or something like that or whatever. But you can go to twotruefreaks.com. You can use our Amazon link to buy stuff. You can go to Facebook, where we got the Two True Freaks page, which keeps you up on all the episodes, and you can comment on them, and that's where we get a lot of our comments for this show. We got the Two True Freaks Cantina, where you can just go and sort of hang out with all the bizarre aliens that show up to listen to Two True Freaks and make Two True Freaks.
Oh,
and you can go.
I remember, because I was listening to the episode we put out last night. You're like, oh, I need to do this more. We need a webmaster, a new webmaster. Do we still need that?
We sure do. Even though this is weeks in the future, maybe we have one, but I'll still say if we have a webmaster, I'll just cut that part out of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, so somebody who wants to do a little work on the Two True Freak page, get a hold of me via the Facebooks. Or the Twitter. You can go onto Twitter, and if you go to Two True Freaks on Twitter, you're going to be dealing with Gene, the podcasting machine.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
Gene. And that is his domain, and he protects those that come there. So, yeah, there's Two True Freaks all over the internets, all over. So, you have plenty of ways to get a hold of us and to hear our podcasts. And you're obviously listening to this, so you found us somehow. Where can people find you, Hope?
You can find me on Twitter at JGuysAndJedi. I run our Twitter page. And you can also find me at Hope Molinets. And I'm also the news writer for WhatTheFangirl.com, though I'm kind of taking a little break because DragonCon's right around the corner, so I need to get some stuff done before DragonCon, so I don't foresee me writing too much between now and then. But my buddy Anika does Game of Thrones recaps, and I mentioned that, I think, last week. But she does great recaps for What the Fangirl. So if you're a fan of Game of Thrones, please check those out. Because
I haven't watched
great.
Any of the new season yet.
I haven't watched any of it.
Me neither. Me neither. That way when I do, I think, isn't it over now? It's over, right?
No. I think this is the last season.
No, I mean, I think the season's over, isn't it?
No, it just started. They're like 3 episodes in.
Oh, okay. I thought they were like more episodes.
I don't even
There's only like
the
7 or 8 episodes in the whole season.
I don't even watch the show and I know that.
Yeah. Well, by the time this comes out, it'll be 7 or 8 episodes and it'll probably be done.
Actually,
I'm waiting until it's almost done so I can just binge through it, you know?
Yeah. Though, there's a great little Snapchat thing called Now This, and they got like 5 people who had never seen Game of Thrones and they just showed them clips. And that would have been me, because I was like, oh, maybe I can do this. And like, some guy's head exploded from a guy squeezing it too hard. And I was like, yeah, this show's not for me.
Oh, you haven't watched any of it up to... Oh, okay, yeah.
Like,
when it gets violent, yeah, it explodes into some crazy violence, yes.
And I was like, I don't do violence and gore very well. And I also saw a woman get kicked down a well. And I was just like, oh, God.
There's lots of rape and violence and gore, but then there's a lot of sexy time of all different of men, women, men and women. So everybody gets represented, dwarves and women gets represented in Game of Thrones in that aspect.
Yeah. It's always
brothers and
like,
sisters having sex, you know, the usual.
My coworker Christy every week comes in and she tells me what happens and I'm just so lost.
Yeah, no, it's like a soap opera. You sort of, if somebody's telling you what happens in their soap opera, it's nonsensical. You have to watch it and get in the flow of it. I'm rewatching the original Twin Peaks right now to watch the new Twin Peaks. And it's very much like that.
Yeah, I started watching The Night Of, which just because I wanted to see Riz on that. And that's the new show that I'm watching right now. I'm still in the pilot because I've been pretty much only able to watch it in like 10-minute bursts before I have to like on my break and stuff, because it's all I only have time to watch TV on my break. So like I'll watch it while I'm eating on my break. So I'm only about 30 minutes into the first episode, but I like it so far. And Riz Ahmed is beautiful, and I love him, and I hope he wins all the Emmys, because he deserves it. He deserves it. I love him. But, yeah, I decided to make a point. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go on Wikipedia. There has to be a plot of Game of Thrones that I can just sit down and read from beginning to end and not have to worry about gore and stuff. And it's fine. And I pull it up, and it's like 500 years prior to the start of the series. And I was like,
no,
it's for me. Like, this is not for me in any way, shape, and form. And it was, like, 20 pages long. And I was like, yeah, I don't care enough about this.
The only way to really do it is either read the books or start on episode 1 and go all the way through. Otherwise,
yeah,
really
I
no
didn't
point.
Care enough. Though apparently somebody got molten gold poured on them. I've found out that out.
Yes. That's a very... That scene is... Sometimes when the thing about Game of Thrones is, even if you don't like violence... There's times when violence happens that will bring out that part of you where you go, oh, yes, die. Finally. There's one character in there. You know, people were waiting for, like, 3 seasons for that guy
Joffrey.
To die. What?
Was it Joffrey?
Joffrey, yeah. People were just slavery, you know, when Joffrey, you know, spoiler, when Joffrey bit it, people were just like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't like that, do you?
And there's apparently someone who got his own dog suck on him.
Mm-hmm.
And the dogs ate him.
That guy was people were waiting for him to die, too. And and arguably wanted him to die even more horribly than Joffrey. So, yeah. It's funny. That guy, well... Joffrey, I think women want, well, yeah, it's all wound up in the story, but the guy with the dogs, there were a lot, I think, more men gunning for him to die just because of his arc of awfulness, and there were more women opting for Joffrey's death, although the guy who died by the dogs was pretty awful to women, too, but, Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I have. So, oh my gosh, we're almost done with Umbara. It went by so fast.
Come back next week for probably one of the craziest episodes of J-Guys and Jedi, where we'll be lucky if Hope makes it through.
And probably one of the
without her heart given out.
And I've been having a pin in a theory that I've had since episode one of this arc, so I need to remember to say that too. But, oh, we're almost done with Umbara. Oh, makes me sad. It went by so fast. But then at least we have the Slaver arc, and Rex runs around with no shirt on, so that's nice.
Oh, there you
I'm
go.
Down with that. So, it's going to be exciting. We still have... At least we follow my favorite arc with my second favorite arc of Clone Wars, so I'm okay with that.
You'll make it through.
Good time. It's a good time for everybody. It's a good time for Hope. It's Hope time!
Everything's coming up, Hope!
Everything! It's Star Wars! It's about Hope! My name comes up in every movie at some point.
That's
it's
true.
Alright, well, until next time, don't go stealing chips and blowing shit up, and don't let Dogma see you, because he'll tell Dad.
I'm telling.
Shut up, Dogma!
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at 2TrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, 2TrueFreaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the 2TrueFreaks at the same time.
Visit our website at 2TrueFreaks.com. 2TrueFreaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email 2TrueFreaks directly at 2TrueFreaks@gmail.com.
2TrueFreaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search 2TrueFreaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find 2TrueFreaks on Facebook. Just search for 2TrueFreaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about 2TrueFreaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Where have you been, Lord? Rattle my son. Oh, make my bed soon. For I'm weary from hunting.